we could open our meeting by singing 139. 139. This world is a wilderness wide. We have nothing to seek or to choose. We've no thought in the ways to abide. We've naught to regret nor to lose. The Lord is himself gone before. He has marked out the path that we tread. It's as sure as the love we adore. We have nothing to fear nor to dread. 139, if someone would start it, please.
This world is a wilderness.
Book of the wilderness, and it gives us instruction for our pathway down here at the present time. Maybe we could turn to Numbers. First of all, just the end of chapter 6. We'll just glean a few thoughts here and there. Numbers 6 and verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now we'll come back to number 7. Just a verse in Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Adam, God not only placed the name of Adam on the man, but also on the woman. He called their name Adam. Now in Numbers 6, verse 27, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Love, just as God called the man and the woman Adam, just as he put his name upon the children of Israel, so God calls Christ and the church Christ. He has placed his name upon us. Oh, beloved, we need no other name. We can have no higher name. No, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he has placed his name upon us. Christ, our risen, glorified head in heaven, we the body down here, beloved, Christ and the church, God calls Christ. We need no higher name, beloved, than that. We can have no higher name than that, and we need no other. So let us look at Numbers then, chapter 7. You notice when we started verse 22 of the 6th chapter, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you do not find these words at the beginning of this chapter. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle, and had anointed it, and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord. This, beloved, is worship. They weren't told to do this. They did it of their own free will. God never told them to do this. But he accepted it. It is worship. And the Lord delights, he desires the worship of his people. He desires that we might give back to him a little of that with which he has blessed us. Just turn to Deuteronomy 26 for a moment. We can read from verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given thee. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. What did he bring? That with which the Lord had blessed him. The first fruits of his land, his inheritance. He brought that to the Lord. He worshiped before the Lord. And, beloved, we should be gathering day by day the precious truths of this book. And as we gather them, so our hearts will ascend in praise and worship and thanksgiving to him for all the precious things that he has given to us. So then, going back to number 7. Verse 3, and they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them. The Lord accepted that which they brought. It was acceptable to him. That they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, according to their service. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. Those holy vessels were to be borne on the shoulders of the Levites. But that was departed from one time. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Maybe we can go to 1 Chronicles 15. In 1 Chronicles 13, David proposed to the... Oh, we should turn to it and read it, I think, beloved. Sorry. 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. Beloved, there's one that David didn't consult here. He had so often consulted him before, but he didn't consult him here. David didn't consult the Lord. He didn't inquire of the Lord. Now there's no doubt in my mind that David had a perfectly right thought, one pleasing to God, to bring up the ark. But he didn't bring it up in the right way. Let's go to verse 6. David went up and all Israel to Bela, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. David copied the Philistines. The Philistines put the ark on a new cart, and he copied the Philistines. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. There is much genuine religious fervor. They were sincere, I'm sure, in what they were doing. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Brethren, we see much today that may indeed be genuine fervor for the Lord. But is it according to the Word? Are they going according to the Word? That is our guide. That is our direction. We read there in Numbers that the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. Here they put it in a new car. Turn to 1 Chronicles 15. Verse 2. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Ah, David now has inquired. He's learned something. He's learned a lesson. Now he is going to go according to the Word. Verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Ahaziah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Beloved, God has not left us today to go according to our own fancy. Many things may look very nice. They may look as if they were just what should be done. But I repeat, is it according to the Word of God? That is our guide. Not our own ideas. Our own ideas may look wonderful. But is it according to the Word? That is our one and only guide, beloved. Well, let's go back then to number 7. Verse 10. And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. God is not the author of confusion. He's a God of order. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nahshon, the son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was one silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour, mingled with oil for a meat offering. The silver would speak to us of redemption. The fine flour was for the meat offering. Fine flour mingled with oil. Yeah, we read in Luke chapter 2, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Yeah, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power, I better turn to the love, I guess Luke chapter 1. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That is the fine flour mingled with oil. You also get the fine flour cakes made anointed with oil. That was when the Spirit of God came down at his baptism. But the Spirit of God was in that Blessed One from the beginning. He was, though here a man on earth, yet God over all, blessed forever. Yes, ever God, although he was also a man on earth. Anointed with oil. Verse 14, one spoon of 10 shekels of gold full of incense. I believe that incense would speak to us of that sweet fragrance ever ascending to the Father from that blessed man as he walked this earth. And the gold would speak of his divine nature. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. Christ wholly offering himself to God, fully vindicating God in every respect wherein the first man had failed. Christ as the burnt offering. One kid of the goat for a sin offering. Oh, beloved, that blessed one bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nahshon, the son of Amminadab. There we get communion. Beloved, every one of those things that was offered spoke of Christ in one aspect or another. And if we read through the rest of this chapter, aside from slight variations in the way it is worded, you find exactly the same thing. 12 times, or 11 more times, every prince offered exactly the same thing. The love, if it was to be accepted, it had to be of Christ. And if what we offer is to be accepted, it must be of Christ, that Blessed One. In one aspect or another, oh, it should be of Christ. Don't call this repetition. I believe God will bring home to us that very truth, that if we offer to be accepted, the offering must speak of Christ. Well, let us go on then with chapter 8, just a couple of little precious things in it. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamp, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. Turn back to Exodus 25 for just a moment, and we'll see the candlestick. Exodus 25 and verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shafts and his branches, his bowls, his knots, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knot and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like unto almonds in the other branch, with a knot and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick, notice now, while it was all the candlestick, yet there's one portion of it that is specifically the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knots and their flowers. There shall be a knot under two branches of the same, and a knot under two branches of the same, and a knot under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Beloved, that central shaft is a picture of Christ. The branches coming out of the side, a picture of the church. You will recall that the Lord took a rib from Adam's side, that place of affection. So the branches speak to us of the church. That central shaft is preeminently speaking to us of Christ. Now going back to Numbers 8, we find that the lamps were to give light over against the candlestick. They magnified the glory and the beauty of that central shaft. Yes, beloved, they shed their light all around, but they gave their light over against the candlestick. They magnified the glory and the beauty of the central shaft. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, beloved, do we do it? Do we show forth his praises? That one who has done so much for us, brought us into his marvelous light, do we show forth those praises? Oh, dear ones, he is worthy of all honor, all praise, all worship. And then, too, in these chapters, God is preparing his people to cross the wilderness, the desert. And Aaron is instructed to light the lamps. And we never read of those lamps being put out. Oh, no doubt. They probably were put out when the candlestick was covered and put on the shoulders of the Levites to carry it. It doesn't say they were put out. Beloved, as we cross this wilderness sea, we should ever know how one has to own one's fails. We should ever show forth the glory, the beauty, the majesty of that Blessed One who loved us and gave himself for us. Let us go to the end of the chapter, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more. Now we'd read earlier chapters of this book, we would find that the Levites were numbered from 30 years old. Here we find it 25 years. It would appear that they went into the tabernacle at the age of 25 and learned what to do. At the age of 30, they were qualified to assume the responsibility and carry on the work of the tabernacle. Now, you dear young brethren that are here, there is no better place for you to learn than right in the assembly, in the reading meeting, in the prayer meeting. Yes, there's no better place for you to learn than right in the assembly. But from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. They weren't laid to one side. Yes, they ceased the act of service of the tabernacle. I believe one of their duties was to slay or skin the animal offered for sacrifice. And if some of you, dear brethren, here will know far better than I will just how hard it might be to skin a bullock. It's a hard job. It's heavy. I have tried some lesser animals, but never have I tried a cow or a bullock. It's heavy work. And so at the age of 50, they ceased the act of service. But they kept the charge. Beloved, they were the gray heads. They were the ones that knew what the Lord commanded Moses. They were the ones that knew what should be done. And so they remained there in the tabernacle to see that things were done as the Lord commanded Moses. They kept the charge. And beloved brethren, you and I that are older, we have a responsibility before the Lord to see that we go on according to the precious word of God. According to the word. We might turn just for a moment to Hebrews 13. I like to confirm these passages in the Old Testament, these truths with the truth in the New Testament. The things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. We, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or the end of their whole manner of life. Yes, faithful ones have gone on before. They have opened up the Scriptures to us, whose faith follow. Verse 17 of the same chapter. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. for that is unprofitable for you. Grief to those that would seek to have them go on according to the word. Unprofitable for those that do not walk according to the word. Do not walk according as the good instructed. Oh, 1 Peter 5 would tell us the same truth. But time is slipping away. Numbers chapter 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Now that, beloved, is the fruit of sin. We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Moses did not say, I believe you should do this or that. Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Moses was going to go according to the word of God. He was going according to the word of God, not by his own ideas. And from start to finish in this book, we find the path of obedience, the path according to the word of God, is the right path. Not what this one has said or that one has said, or this thing is wrong and that thing is wrong. No. What saith the scripture? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in the journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. It was recognized that there could be a physical or moral reason why they couldn't keep it. The 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. They were to keep it, if not on the 14th day of the first month, they were to keep it on the 14th day of the second month. Provision was made for one that was unclean or away on a journey, and he couldn't keep it. Provision was made for them. But if they couldn't keep it in the first month, they were to keep it in the second month. Well, we find that was done in Hezekiah's day. They kept the whole Passover on the 14th day of the second month. Beloved, the Passover looked back to that night in Egypt when the sprinkled blood of the slain lamb saved the firstborn from the just, righteous judgment of God. God's judgment was to fall on all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And the lamb was slain, the blood was caught in the basin, and that blood was sprinkled on the lintel and the two side posts of the door. It was the sprinkled blood that saved the firstborn in that house. Oh, could there be one here that does not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? The love of Christ has died. His blood has been shed. But until you make it your own, until you put your trust in that finished work for yourself, you are still lost. It's the sprinkled blood that saves. The blood applied to your heart, to my heart, that saves individually. Verse 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. Beloved, as we gather on Lord's Day morning, around the person of Christ, those emblems before us, speaking of his body, given in death for us, of his precious blood shed there on Calvary's cross. Beloved, do we keep it? Do we make excuses? Is there some reason why we don't remember him according to that request he made on the same night in which he was betrayed? Said, this do in remembrance of me. We are under grace. God does not come in judgment on us if we don't remember him. But dear ones, it was his dying request. So we say that we remember him in his death. He's given it to us in love that our hearts might be recalled to what he has done for us, that our hearts might be warm for they grow cold so quickly. Oh, dear ones, let us remember he has said, this do in remembrance of me. Oh, just going on in this chapter. Verse 19. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Here we find the people sheltered by the cloud, Jehovah's people, marked out by that cloud as his people. And they went according to the word of the Lord. Oh, what a lesson there is in for us. We're sheltered by that blessed one. He has said, whoso toucheth you, toucheth the apple of thine eye. Not a single thing can the enemy do, but what the Lord permits him to do. And if he permits him to touch us, then, dear ones, it's in purest love and grace that he might recall our hearts, that he might bestow a blessing on us. Oh, how dear Abraham was tried. But the Lord blessed Abraham and made him a blessing to the whole earth. Look how Job was tried. When Job learned his lesson, the Lord blessed him with twice as much as he had before. The Apostle Paul was tried, given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. But dear one, the Apostle could thank the Lord for that thorn in the flesh. It was given to him lest he be lifted up with pride because of the revelation he'd received. And so the Lord thought needful to leave that thorn in the flesh with him. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Everything must be of the Lord, not of self. Now in chapter 10, one more precious thing. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp." Two trumpets of silver. Silver usually speaks of redemption. But I believe in this case, it's the Word of God. And possibly the two trumpets could be the Old and the New Testament. Verse 3. "And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. When the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpet." Those that were nearest to Jehovah, to whom Jehovah communicated his mind, were responsible for blowing the trumpet, for communicating the mind of Jehovah to the rest of the congregation. That was how they were instructed, by the blowing of the trumpet. Now, dear one, those gained, those of us that are older, I believe we have a responsibility to instruct, to sound an alarm, to let it be known what the Lord's mind is. That's what the priest had to do. They had to sound an alarm, or they had to let the people know what Jehovah's mind was. And I believe, beloved, we have that responsibility to pass the warnings on, and pass on not only the warnings, but the joys, the delights that he has for us. Now just let us go on. "And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpet, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." I believe, brethren, they used those trumpets on every occasion when they came together. Do we find ourselves with the Word of God in our hands each time we come together? Oh, we do when we come into the meeting room here, yes. What about in our homes? Is the Word of God constantly before us? Each time they came together, they had to sound the trumpet. Beloved, I believe we cannot be over the Word of God too much. The more we're into its blessed pages, the more we learn of that blessed one, the more beloved, the more precious he will become. Just look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. The more we go on learning, beloved, of that blessed one, the more we're poring over the pages of this blessed book, the more we'll know of that wondrous grace, that favor that has been shown toward us. And the more we enter into that grace that he has showered upon us, the more we'll enter into that peace that he has for us. Grace and peace be multiplied. Well, the end of this 10th chapter, verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Well, this man had been there all the time they were at Sinai. No doubt had seen the Lord come down in fire on top of the mount. He had seen the tabernacle built. He had seen the tabernacle assembled. Dear one, he had seen everything. He said, no, I won't go. I'll depart to my own land. Oh, is there one here that has seen everything? Seen the Spirit of God working in the assembly. Seen it all. Heard the truth. Says, no, I'm going back into the world. Dear ones, it's solemn. It's solemn. What responsibility there is when we have seen and heard it all and then we go back into the world. Verse 31, and he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Oh, he is suggesting that Hobab be a sort of a scout for them. The Lord makes no comment on that, but what do we find? And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. Death and resurrection, those 3 days' journey would bring before us. What man could lead us through death and resurrection? And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. It was God's purpose originally that there would be 6 tribes in front, then the Levites with the tabernacle, and 6 tribes coming behind. But here we find the ark goes out in front to search out a resting place for them. Beloved, our blessed Lord and Savior has gone before. He has gone through those waters of death. He has annulled Satan's power for us. He has gone back to the glory. He is there, a risen, glorified man at God's right hand. And he is there on our behalf to make intercession for us. Beloved, He has marked out the way that we go. We have only to follow in His footsteps. Oh, beloved, the time must be so short when He will come to call us to meet Him in the air. May we be found going on, following after Him, according to the precious Word of God, until He comes for us. It cannot be long. Maybe we could just sing another hymn. 231. We're pilgrims in the wilderness, our dwelling is a camp. Created things though pleasant, now bear to us death that. But onward we're speeding, though often left and tried. The Holy Ghost is leading home to the Lamb, His bride. 231, if someone would start, please.
We're